This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Left wall for Pouliot. Hesitates. Slips his way down low to the corner. Back up high for Geeky. Walks to the middle. Fakes. Nearly stumbles. Gets it toward the net. Save. Rebound. It gets behind Levi. A scramble to the crease and the whistle blows.
The Rochester Americans awaiting the start of their playoff series against the Laval Rocket on Wednesday, May 14th. So
I'm excited to see that start.
I am also very excited for that.
I want to make a run.
The likes of Devin Levi. And I know, or at least I have a good feeling that someone that we know is going to be there. As Paul Hamilton joins us on the West Hurrah Hotline, Paul, I guess I was made to be slightly a liar by a minute here, but...
See?
but that's better than most at the station.
Well, it's still not good enough.
You're right. I do have to. At least gives me something to be better at, Paul.
Lindy Ruff would be going over film with you right now, trying to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, we're gonna learn from this, and I'm sure you hear that a lot, Paul. But we're gonna learn from this, and we're gonna try to be better.
Yes, exactly.
Paul, of course, there's a lot going on, and you've kind of been doing a whole lot of everything for us. I know that you've covered a little bit with Rochester in the postseason with the Calder Cup. You have a piece up right now about Team USA at the World Championships with Tage Thompson. I even saw that you're tweeting about the Bills minicamp. So, Paul, what do they not have you doing right now?
Well, that's the thing. I just look for things to do in the off season. So, this is actually my fourth year in a row now covering Amerk's playoffs. So that's... I would rather cover NHL playoffs, but if I can't do that, these are especially the year they went to the Eastern Conference Final. That was a lot of fun to cover, and it gives me a chance, too, to see some of these younger players in action and see, you know, where they're at in their careers and how they're playing and just a little bit more about them, because during the season, you really don't have a chance to do that because you're traveling with the Sabres and you're all over the place and, you know, taking trips down to Rochester really – there's no time to do that. So this is a good opportunity to be able to go down and do that. Now, I'm just trying to figure out if what's going to come first, either opening day for next year's season or the next round of the playoffs. I don't know which one's coming first here. The AHL and their wisdom. You know, the first round is basically in every division, four playing five for the right to play one. That's the first round. But Rochester knew they were going to play Syracuse, so that series started. It was the only second-round series that started in any of the divisions of the American Hockey League, so they got way ahead. Not only did they get way ahead, it was a sweep. So now they just sit. Laval and Cleveland only had played one game because Cleveland had to play in the play-in series. They won. So then Laval and Cleveland only had played one game, and they went to game four. So... Here Rochester sits, and I understand what the American Hockey League does as far as scheduling. They try as best they can to get as many weekend games, to get as many fans in the building as they can. I get that totally. Of course, you know, a Friday night game is going to bring more fans into the building than a Tuesday night game is. But as it turns out, they are going to open on a Wednesday. They will get a Friday out of it in game two. So it'll be about a two-week period in between games, and that's honestly not a real good thing. Yes, it does help you get a couple of guys healthy, but I have seen teams come out of that break a mess, you know, just because they haven't played in 2 weeks and they're rusty and, you know, they're playing a team that has been playing and it sometimes doesn't go well. So we'll see. It can go either way. We'll see how that goes for them.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite things to see was that Rochester folded Syracuse so quickly that two playoff series hadn't even begun yet by the time that Rochester pulled off the sweep against Syracuse. And going into that, why was it so dominant? Well, the man in the crease, Devin Levi, had back-to-back shutouts in games two and three against Syracuse to allow for Rochester to wrap this up so quickly. How has Levi looked in the net in those games against the Crunch? And more or less, what has it been like for him with the dominant season that he's had after a tumultuous start in Buffalo this year?
Well, this is truly a team effort defensively, the way they play for Mike Leone. I wasn't able to make game one because I was actually doing a Bison game against Rochester for game the same day as game one. Game two, I was at, and Levi made 35 saves, and he was very good. One thing I noticed is he's not, you know, out of his net and herky-jerky and everything smooth. He's out on his angles. There's no panic in his game at all. You really don't see that, oh, what a save. And usually what, oh, what a save means is I'm out of position and have to dive back and make some crazy save. And there wasn't a lot of that because he was just so on it. You know, he fights for his ice when he has to. Syracuse is a big goony team that, you know, will be around the and they'll take shots at you, but he didn't care. You know, he was, you know, fighting for his ice. He was very calm in the net. His movements were very direct. He was on his angles. You know, he had good rebound control. There were very few rebounds, and he could see everything. That's what I talk about a team effort. When I ask him about it, you know, yeah, he made 35 saves, but there very few were screened. I mean, the way they play defense, they're good at keeping people from being around the net or being in his eye line of eyesight, and he can see everything, which is obviously key for a goaltender. So, and you know, when he had to make a big save, he did. And it was just, you know, he's done something that only two other goaltenders in Rochester American's history have done. That's two consecutive playoff shutouts. And the first one did it in 1957. So, you know, that was, I think, the day Howard Simon celebrated his 40th birthday was that. So, so Bobby Perreault pulled it off then. And then Mika Noronen in 2000 did it twice. So that's the only time it's ever been done. And the very interesting thing I found was Syracuse scored the first two goals in game one of the series. And they never scored again. Rochester scored the next 11.
Wow.
So Syracuse scored the first two, and then Rochester scored in the next 11, and the series was over. So, and I love the way how focused they are. You know, Syracuse is this great, big, dirty team. They might be one of the dirtiest teams I've ever seen in professional hockey. They will take you headfirst into the wall without thinking twice. They will punch you in the back of the head after whistles. They will throw you face first into the crossbar. They don't care. They and Rochester, of course, is a smaller team, but they didn't back down either. You know, they stood up to anything they had to stand up to, but they basically said, go ahead. You want to play like that? Fine, you go sit in the penalty box, and we'll go score goals and win, and we'll go home with three wins. How's that? Well, you do your thing, fine, and we'll do our thing. And guess what's going to happen? You're going home. So, it was just kind of fun to watch them. The discipline that they played with, you know, they were able, even though they're the smaller team, they didn't back down. you know, Hellenius would be a good example. The first goal that Rochester scored in game two, it was very early, and he was sitting there tangling with a Syracuse defenseman who's probably around 6'2 and weighs about 220. And he just had to keep battling, and he did. And he won the battle. What does he weigh, about 175 pounds soaking wet? He's 18. Well, now he's 19. He just turned 19. Maybe this weekend he's turning 19. Anyway, you get the picture. When this battle happened, he was 18. And the 18-year-old won the battle, and the puck popped loose to him, and he was right there be able to put it in the empty net when the puck came to him, because he was willing to go to the net and battle against a bigger, tougher opponent, but he didn't care. He goes, all right, go ahead. Well, kind of like Benson, you know, I'll win the battle. Don't worry about it. And he did. And I thought for an 18-year-old, I was really impressed by that.
And for those that, you know, appreciate what Benson can bring, to hear that kind of comparison, that's got to be a little more on that heartwarming side. Hellenius, obviously one of those big names, Paul. Yuri Kulik being sent down to be able to play along with Isaac Rezaian. Rusek's back available. Tyson Kozak ends up back in the lineup after missing the rest of the NHL season due to an injury. What has it been like for some of those the bigger names that have been able to show up here early on in this series?
Playing a tough team like that was good for Kulik. He had to fight through it. Last year, I don't think he fought through it as well. He didn't score a goal in the five-game series. They lost in five. And, you know, I think he had a little bit of trouble with the way Syracuse plays. Well, now he's hip to it, and he was fine. You know, the first thing that impressed me about game two was my first note on Kulik wasn't anything from the offensive standpoint. It was him back-checking his guy right to the crease. He came back with him, never left him, and had he left him, Syracuse would have had a golden scoring opportunity. But he stayed with him, back-checked all the way to the crease, never left him, and I thought, good. He really has understood and learned his role as a two-way player, which Lindy Ruff and Seth Appert really, you know, were with him on that and really staying on him about that and teaching him what he needed to do in pro hockey to be a two-way player. And then next thing you know, he blocks a shot. He can't even put any weight on his foot as he's trying to get back to the bench. None. So I'm thinking, this does not look good. I mean, a lot of the time you block a shot, most of the time you just walk it off and you're going to be okay. This one looked a little different. And he was on the bench. They wanted him to leave the bench. He wouldn't. And then in a break, he went out on the ice and tried to skate on it. That did not look good at all. And I'm still thinking to myself, this I think might be a problem. And he just stayed on the bench and he worked it out. And next thing you know, he's scoring. You know, now the offense comes. Syracuse at the end of the second period took a penalty with 17 seconds left in the period. Kulik had scored with 13 seconds left in the period. It took 4 seconds for him to score on a Thompson bomb type one-timer. They won a draw. They got it over to him in the circle, and he just put an absolute missile on a one-timer. And, you know, that made the score 2-0 at the time. And then early in the third period, he wins a faceoff. Back to Cale Clegg. He scores, and as soon as he won the faceoff, he didn't admire his work. He went to the net, which I liked. And now it's 3-0. So now, you know, those contributions there offensively, and it had already been kind of a tough night for him, whether it's blocking a shot, you know, and he really had to shake that off, but he did. And a lot of players maybe would have gone to the room, but he wasn't willing to do that. He wanted to stay with it, and it paid dividends for him.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul Hamilton on the Westshore Hotline. Paul, I have to ask you Sabres questions. Begrudgingly, I have to ask you Sabres questions. But there are some things that have happened because the Sabres, they do hire Eric Staal as a special assistant to general manager Kevin Adams. They hire Brian Gallivan as the director of performance. There are reports coming up that they were talking about like Ken Holland or Lou Lamoriello, and they declined. Paul, what do you think of what has gone on with the front office so far this offseason? The fact that they are trying to shake up a couple of things and what seems like they're not done yet.
Yeah, Ken Holland very well going to wind up with another team as a GM. I don't think the role the Sabres are looking at would be something that he'd be looking at right now. Lou Lamoriello, I don't know. I probably would not be looking. I think in Lou Lamoriello's case, in his time, he was one of the greatest GMs. I think that time has passed. I think the game is different. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's changed with the game. And I think that's why the Islanders have never really caught on. He basically gutted their minor league system. So, yeah, that's an experienced guy that we've been talking about. But I would not have been real excited if I were a Sabre fan to see that particular person come in, just because he's very set in his ways. He and Jacques Lemaire together won Stanley Cups together. It worked, but they also almost single-handedly ruined hockey.
Yeah.
with the system they wanted played. And Lou Lamoriello, when he's in, you know, if he's your GM, that system will be played no matter who the coach is, or you will not be coaching. It's a horrible system for hockey. As I said, he won with it, which is all that matters. And then you know how copycats do when they win, and that's when the NHL went to this, you know, left-wing lock and all this stuff, and let's clog the neutral zone so we don't have any offense in the league, and let's just wait to see if the other team turns the puck over, and we'll jump on that. And it was just a horrible way to watch hockey. It worked, but I just hate it. And I always say those two did more to ruin hockey, even though they won, than probably anybody I've seen in the time I've covered the NHL. So I don't think that would have been a good idea. And we don't know if it actually happened.
Right. It's only reports. Yeah.
You know, a lot of these reports are just like the report that the Sabres were close to maybe trading J.J. Paterka to the Rangers, which had no truth to it whatsoever at the trade deadline, things like that. And, you know, so who knows? Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but I don't think that would have been a good move at all.
Paul, sorry. I cut off Joseph Calley. I cut off radio's Joe Calley. What is wrong with
it's me? It's what you do. It's the root. Do you notice that your other partner's never with you anymore? You probably cut him off so much that he just said, I'm not going to go do stuff with him anymore. So,
trying to get a hold of KP is tough these days, man.
Well, he plays shortstop on our softball team, so if you hang out on a Tuesday with us, you'll be able to talk to him.
Well,
he signs autographs before and after
really?
The game, so you can get autographs.
Oh, I could go up to him and go, is that radio's Kyle Powell?
He's not a bad ball player. He was a college
player. Oh, yeah. He was legit there.
So, yeah, he's still legit. Although he uses a little – and I'm not kidding. It is a little league glove.
Yes.
Bob Gaughan, who used to work at our station, and yep. I just absolutely come after him. And he's so good, but the thing is he does miss some balls because his glove's not big enough.
It's too small.
You know, if he had a bigger glove, the ball would have gone to his glove, where with the smaller glove, it misses his glove. He can't quite get to it. So we of course, tell him, well, if you had a big boy glove, you would have made that play instead of having the ball go, you know, a base hit by you. And so although I his wife tells me that maybe he might have buckled and bought a big boy glove. So we're going to see at the first game on
Tuesday.
I'm
absolutely sending this segment to him and saying we're going to have Tuesday night softball discussions with Paul every weekend.
Yeah. Going to have to.
So come on out, and he will be happy to talk to you there.
All right.
Well, Paul, going back to the net, with goaltending, the market being questionable for Buffalo, an acquisition in the offseason, do they go back to the idea of Levi challenging UPL after an up-and-down season from UPL and Levi's success with the Americans?
Yeah, no, definitely. He's got to have a chance in both goaltenders, if they're both here, would have to have a chance to be the starting goaltender in training camp. I ask both Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff if they would be comfortable with that. And Lindy Ruff, they defended Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. He said, look, I have a lot of faith in him. But actions speak louder than words. And at the end of the season, when Lindy Ruff was trying to put together a winning culture for this group and made winning, hey, it wasn't, we're not developing, we're going to try to win hockey games and show you what it feels like to play the right way, which in turn will help us win hockey games. That was the goal. So every night he was trying to put the goaltender in net who was going to give them the best chance to win. And that goaltender was 37 years old and he did not have a long name. You know, that's right there is, you know, Luukkonen down the stretch got very little action. And it was James Reimer who earned it, by the way, with his play. He got the starts because he earned the starts. Had that been a playoff run, he would have been the starting goaltender, you know, because he was the best goaltender at the time. And he did give them the best chance to win. So we'll see. I would not personally – Kevin Adams said, he goes, I would be perfectly comfortable with those two as their goaltenders coming into training camp. If I was going into my sixth season and in my last year of my contract and I had to make the playoffs, I would not be doing that. I just wouldn't. It just is too risky. It could very well work. You know, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen works hard. And over the summer, he'll be with his goaltending coach in Finland. And he very well could come back and be the goaltender we saw at the end of last season, where he hits some of the best numbers in the National Hockey League in his last 35 games after January 1st. I definitely could see that. I could also see, you know, Devin Levi, because he did not get good development until the last year and a half. Now I think his development has been done absolutely correctly. And you've seen what he's been able to do, you know, being the, you know, last year he went on that playoff run and it was a good 5-game series. It wasn't like Levi blew it or anything like that. It was just Syracuse won the 5th game. It was a very close series. It was good goaltending. Both teams played well. It wasn't, you know, any, so Levi got that experience, which I think he needed. And then this year they again try, and if I'm Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, I would be rather upset that I'm alternating with Devin Levi to start the year. In my mind, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen won the job the year before. It should have been, there should not have been alternating. But Kevin Adams has very obviously wants Devin Levi to have the job. He's handed it to him twice. He hasn't been able to handle it. And then now I think they've had very good development down there. And when I say that, you look at what he's done. He's played 8 playoff games in Calder Cup action. And he has put up very, very good numbers down there in those 8 games. He's only given up 17 goals in 8 playoff games in 2 years. That's a 1.93 with a .941 save percentage. And he's also played 68 regular season games now. And those numbers are excellent too. 41-19-8 with a 2.28 and a .922 save percentage and an all-star appearance. So, you know, I think he is now getting the type of development that he needs. Can he bring that to the NHL? None of us know. I don't know. You don't know. Kevin Adams doesn't know. His resume would say yes, because he's arguably the best goaltender that college hockey has ever seen. He has now been an all-star in the American Hockey League. He now has two consecutive playoff shutouts and playing very, very well in the playoffs. And, you know, the resume would say yes. You know, he's going to be a good NHL goaltender. But I think it's very key. I find it very interesting that the two players that have been developed correctly now Levi and Kulik, are the ones that are excelling in the organization the most. And, you know, Dylan Cousins never played one game in the American Hockey League. Matias Samuelsson played very few. You name Samuelsson, Paterka, Quinn. They weren't down there long enough. That's why I liked Ostlund when he was up here, and leave him in Rochester next year. I don't think he's been there long enough. Even though he got a taste of the NHL, I thought he looked good. I would not be rushing him or Hellenius up, because that hasn't worked. The rushing of players, the one that you might say it worked for is Paterka. You know, that, you know, he's spent less than 100 games in the American Hockey League. He's got 55 goals in his last 2 years. Has become a better two-way player. I mean, Seth Appert has worked very hard with him on that, and I think we have seen the improvement in him with that. I don't think he's there yet, but I think there's been very good improvement there. And when you score 28 goals 1 year and 27 the next, that's nothing to sneeze at. So, you know, for him, it's worked. But for a lot of these youngsters, it has not.
Paul, looking around the greater calculus of the NHL, what do you think of the NHL playoffs so far as we're hitting some game threes? Game threes are over and done with.
It's been very interesting. You know, it's a shame. Although this year's playoffs was a little bit better as far as matchups that weren't crazy. You know, like Montreal-Washington, that was 2 against 17. Okay, good. That's what you want in the first round. Winnipeg-St. Louis, that was 1 against 14. Good. You know, Vegas-Minnesota, that was 3 against 13. What I didn't like is Dallas against Colorado. That should have been the Western Conference Final, not a first-round series. Florida-Tampa Bay, now that only turned into a 5-game series. That didn't turn into a great series like Colorado and Dallas did. But still, I don't need Florida 7 against 11 in the first round, playing each other. So, there were only a couple of series that I think were out of whack. Edmonton, Los Angeles is out of whack. That was 6 against 9. Those are basically the three that you don't want as first-round series. I really thought Tampa would give Florida more of a tussle. They were right there. They looked like they were going to tie the series at 2. And it was late, I think about 3 minutes left. They got the lead, and then Florida just went crazy and won that game, and Tampa never recovered. They lost in 5 games. And I wasn't expecting St. Louis to give Winnipeg the tussle they did, but Hellebuck was the playoff Hellebuck who just can't seem to put it together. Now, it seems like maybe he has put it together all of a sudden. And I kept saying, and I even when before the Winnipeg-Dallas series said, I think Dallas will win the series unless Hellebuck becomes the goaltender that has him in the running for the Hart Trophy. If he starts doing that, Dallas is in trouble. Guess what? He's had 2 really good games. Now, Dallas won the first game, but Hellebuck played well. And Hellebuck now gets the shutout in game 2. So Dallas, you know, now has a tussle on their hands. If Hellebuck stays playing like he does, that earned him the position to be in the Hart Trophy running. So, we'll see about Winnipeg there. And he's going to go as far as they can take him. Florida, the difference in Florida, really, you know, why they got behind 2-0 to Toronto before winning last night was their goaltender all of a sudden was playing like he used to play in the playoffs. Toronto was getting better goaltending by far. And, if Florida wants to come fully back, now they're down 2-1 in that series. Bobrovsky has to become the goaltender in the playoffs that he became. Remember, he was such a great regular season goalie, and he won all the trophies of Vezina and everything. And then he'd get to the playoffs, and he was horrendous. Not bad. He was horrendous. And then that first-round series a couple of years ago, He wasn't starting, and he came in the middle of a game in the first round, and all of a sudden became the Bobrovsky that we saw in the regular season, and he never gave the net up since then. He was fantastic. Big reason why they won the Stanley Cup last year. But he certainly did not have two good games in the first two games against Toronto. And they have to have him, or their run as Stanley Cup champions is going to end in this series.
All right, Paul. We got pretty much, I think, everything we need out of you here. But the ever busy Paul Hamilton, I appreciate you joining us here, and we'll let you coach up Kyle Powell on the diamond.
And very briefly, Tage Thompson yesterday in the 5-0 win for Team USA, I think by far was USA's best player on the ice, and he only had one assist. He couldn't get the puck in the net. He had a wide open net. I still don't know how it didn't go in. I don't know if the goalie got it. I don't know if he missed the net. He was just standing there in the third period with a wide open net, winds up, and somehow the puck didn't go in. He did get a nice assist, and but he had 8 shots on goal. He was all over the place for Team USA. He just could not get the puck, and he had 8 of their 48 shots on goal. To me, he was their best. Even though the Beniers got 2 goals, I think Thompson was their best player yesterday.
You like to see that, making sure that someone's staying in top form like that. And I did like your little excerpt about Darlene at the end of the article as well about why.
Don't know if that's true or not, but he certainly, I don't think, was treated very well.
Yeah, and your last line there, if it is the case, I don't blame him for not playing for Team Sweden because of his lack of usage on special teams.
I wouldn't have been happy with that coach either. I mean, he was never on special teams. He never played in the overtimes. He played with Gus Forsling, and I thought they were their best pair. I thought that pair looked great. I thought Darlene had a very good Four Nations tournament. And for whatever reason, they thought maybe Erik Karlsson might be a better option. What? Yeah, Erik Karlsson played less than 30 seconds in 2 different overtimes combined, and he was on the ice for both goals and was the cause of one of them.
Yeah.
But Darlene didn't get a chance to play in the overtime. And, if the Sabres ever could find a way to get Gus Forsling, I mean, Darlene and Forsling were phenomenal together. That's the defenseman we're talking about right there.
Yep.
That to bring in for the young guy, even if he plays with Owen Power. Because I think if you sign Byram and Darlene are a good pair. Maybe Byram doesn't play well with other guys, but Darlene and Byram are an excellent pair. If you put Gus Forsling with Owen Power, now I think you've got 4 defensemen. But why would the Florida Panthers be willing to get rid of him? But if they ever are, I'd be on that in no time.
Paul, we have you doing everything. So now you need to blackmail the Florida Panthers.
And then figure out a way to get Sam Bennett in free agency.
Yep.
I don't think that would be a possibility.
Free agency
either.
Is just money. I mean,
I think they would have to pay him triple what other teams would have to, because why would he come to a team that hasn't been in the playoffs for 14 years after he's won the Stanley Cup? But that certainly would be a target. I certainly would be calling, because that, again, is exactly the player we're talking about to add to your top 6.
Yep. Paul, we appreciate everything that you do. Try to kick back a little bit here this weekend, why don't you?
Well, I have an article to do. I was at minicamp yesterday, so it's time to write my minicamp article. Yesterday I had a couple of Sabre, the World Championship, and a couple of Sabre articles to write. Now it's time to write the minicamp article.
All right. Paul Hamilton, keeping on the grind. Appreciate you, Paul. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
All right. That's Paul Hamilton on the West Shore Hotline, doing quite literally everything.
Mm-hmm. And playing softball, too.
And playing softball. Mm-hmm. I got to send that little excerpt to Kyle Powell.
Yeah.
Because I miss him.
I need a highlight reel of that team. I love Bob, too. Like, everyone you mentioned.
Oh, yeah, we got Bob, Paul, and Kyle Powell there.
Yeah, I wonder what the rest of the roster is looking like.
Yeah,
you know?
I would love to. That's just also an opportunity to heckle your friends.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Paul, you shouldn't have told me that.
We're going to put a highlight reel together. We're going to make an edit.
But that said, I don't know where they are.
Yeah, so that he left the biggest part of it out.
He left the biggest part of this out.
So there's...
I'll text Paul.
Will he tell you? That's the question.
Maybe. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Mm. He might turn it around and make fun of me anyway.
He might be a little cheeky about it.
But that's Paul. All right, we come back.
Speaking of cheeks.
We come back. And yes, it is the booty cheek of the week coming up next year on Sports Talk Saturday.